ओम ज्ञानति निरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकय चक्षुर नीलितम येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः।
This evening I'd like to speak something about standards in devotional service. I'd like to speak about this because just in the short time I've been here, this point has been brought up to me, and it appears to be a very delicate point about what proper standards should be. Actually, since I first came here, when I first came here, I was actually a complete, you could almost say a rift, like two camps of devotees who, they had different standards of practicing. So, what should be the standard? Obviously, for initiated devotees, there's a minimum standard to follow of chanting 16 rounds minimum of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and following four regulated principles. There are also many other standards, just like if we read in the Nectar of Devotion, we find there are 64 angas or limbs of devotional service, and many rules and regulations are given there. Prabhupada writes that these rules and regulations are offered by the previous acharyas to help us advance in devotional service. In other words, chanting Hare Krishna is the essence of devotional practices. It's very clear that chanting the holy names of Krishna is the essence of all spiritual activities in this age. But there are many other activities that support that chanting and help us to develop our love for Krishna. Some rules are more important and some are less important. And different rules, they may be adjusted according to time, place and circumstance. The most basic rule of all is to always remember Krishna and never forget Him. Smartavya Sadatam Krishna, Smartavya Sadatam Vishnu, Vismartavya Najata Chit, Saravedi Vishedasya, Ekeya Eva Kinkaraha. There are two rules, always to remember Krishna and never to forget Him, which is the same rule stated in two different ways. All the rules and regulations offered in the scriptures, they are the servant of this rule. In other words, the most important thing is to always remember Krishna. But our whole disease, why we're in this material world, is because we don't remember Krishna. So the rules and regulations of spiritual life, they are based around hearing and chanting about Krishna and awakening our dormant sense of service to Him. And just like there are these rules given in the Nectar of Devotion. And there are many other rules which are given by the previous acharyas, and especially Prabhupada has given us rules which are conducive to our circumstance. If we see there are the Hari Bhakti Vilas is a book with many different rules and regulations given in there. That was written by Sanatana Goswami some, 450 years ago. So that was written at a time when people in India were very much attached to the smarter rules and regulations. They were very strict about following many different rules, which nowadays, actually even if you wanted to, you couldn't follow. Just like, for instance, if we want to maintain ultimate standards of purity, well, the first thing, we wouldn't come to this country. And even in India, they're slaughtering cows. So even that which is supposed to be punya bhumi, they're forcefully turned into also papa bhumi. But just like, for instance, this example I often give, everyone lives in a house in which the bathroom is attached. So actually the whole place is apavitra. You can't do, according to the strict rules, you cannot perform puja. Practically the whole house is a stool room. You should go in the field, at least one bow shot away from any residence, minimum, long distance away. You'll find in traditional homes in India that they have one room for living, one room for temple, one room for cooking, everything separate.
If it's if you attach the storeroom to the house, or in the same building they're cooking meat, actually the whole place becomes impure. So this rule, nowadays if you want to follow, you can't follow. If you want to live in such purity, practically you can't. So some adjustment and some understanding is that as Kali Yuga, everything is impure, so by chanting the holy names, the situation becomes purified. The point I'm making is that to follow rules and regulations as they used to be followed strictly in India is not possible in the modern age. Nevertheless, Srila Prabhupada gave us different rules and regulations which they're adjusted to time, place and circumstance to help us become advanced in Krishna consciousness. But the rules, what is the point? I wonder, why have so many rules? It's chant Hare Krishna, that's all. But the rules, what they do, they help protect us from bad influences. Just like we have a rule, don't watch television. Don't watch nonsense, so many nonsense things on television. Why? Because if you watch that, that will pollute your consciousness. Pollute the consciousness means you can't think of Krishna. If you're watching some cartoon or sports on television, then you don't think of Krishna. Or maybe you will don't indulge in some demigod work. Well, that's a basic rule from the scriptures, nectar devotion. Don't indulge in demigod worship. So, because that demigod worship is being conducted by materialistic people with a materialistic aim, with a misunderstanding that the demigod is independently as good as Krishna. So it's the whole process is contaminated. We can offer respect to the demigods, but we don't out and out worship them, especially not in the way that materialistic people do. So there are two kinds of rules. One is called Vidhi and one is called Nishindh. So this kind of rule, don't engage in demigod worship, don't indulge in mundane sports. These are Nishindh, things not to do. And then there are Vidhis, things to do that should be done, such as rising early in the morning, studying Srimad Bhagavatam. These are positive injunctions and negative injunctions. So the positive injunctions, they help us to become advanced in Krishna consciousness. And the negative injunctions, they protect us from our consciousness becoming polluted. So they're do's and do nots. Now, we find that Srila Prabhupada, when he first started preaching in the Western countries, he didn't introduce many rules. In fact, the first deity worship was in ISKCON was the worship of Jagannath deities. And there was no dressing of the deities, there was no puja, simply the devotees would bring some candle, and with that there was no pujari. Simply from outside they would offer some lights, and offering prasadam they'd simply bring before. In the beginning in New York, Prabhupada had a picture of the Panchatattva, and simply they would bring the bhoga, and Prabhupada would say the prayers, Sharira Vidyajal, these prayers, and by this process. Very, very simple. When the devotees first had deities, they asked Prabhupada if there are different rules for deity worship. Prabhupada said, yes, but if I told you, you would faint. So in the beginning, Prabhupada was bringing people in by any means whatsoever. Just let them in, because they're hippies. Let them chant and dance and give them prasadam, and then gradually Prabhupada introduced different rules and regulations. And actually, he became quite strict about them. He was very strict that devotees should rise early in the morning, ten mangalarti. Even in the beginning days of our movement, there were not regular classes in the temples, but gradually Prabhupada introduced all these different points. In the beginning, the devotees, they didn't shave their heads, they didn't wear devotional dress, none of these things. But gradually Prabhupada introduced these things for devotees living in his temples. So these standards were there. Now, when Prabhupada was personally present, of course Prabhupada is personally present, not impersonally present, he's present in his instructions, but when we say that we mean, we generally talk about the time up until his November 14th, 1977, when he passed away from our vision in his Bapu form. So at that time, almost all the devotees in ISKCON were living in temples. So there were certain rules and regulations living in the temples, which it's particularly conducive. Those who are living in a temple, they can particularly easily follow them. Now what we're finding that all over the world, that more and more devotees are like yourselves. They're not living in any temple. We don't have any ashram here. And you're all householders living outside. And in all over the world also, there are more and more devotees who are not living in our temple communities, but who are householders who have some job outside. They're working, doing some job or business or something like that. Actually, Prabhupada was very anxious. This is a little bit on the side. But Prabhupada is very concerned that farm communities be set up where devotees can live very, householder devotees especially, can live very simple lives on the land and not have to mix up with so many materialistic people and not have to do ugra karma. That means some very industrial work or very unnatural kind of work. They can live close to the land and remember Krishna, just as the residents of Vrindavan were doing when Krishna was there. So Prabhupada was, thought this is a better situation for households. It's more easy for them to be Krishna conscious. I think you're all experiencing this, that even though you like to be Krishna conscious, you have a lot of long hours working, and many times there are tight schedules, and then you have to mix with so many materialistic people, and they're eating nonsense and talking nonsense, and their whole life is nonsense. So it's not the most favorable situation for being Krishna conscious. So anyway, Prabhupada wanted to make these farm communities for householders to live on. But not everybody can do that. Most of you here couldn't do it, but you're doing some, you have some kind of occupation, which actually the long hours and those who, I remember when I first came here, Radha Raman Prabhu was here. Those of you who are older, you'll remember. Older in our movement, you'll remember. He actually, from him, all the preaching first developed here, as far as I understand. So he had shift hours in the hospital, so sometimes he'd be working all night, and then, I mean, there's no question of rising early, because he'd come back home from work at 5 o'clock in the morning. So then, he would go to sleep, and then when he got up, he'd chant his rounds. So, in other words, some adjustment is there. But adjustment will be there, but as much as possible, we have to make those who are becoming serious about Krishna consciousness, we have to follow the principles as much as possible, understanding that these principles, such as rising early, chanting our rounds attentively, studying Srila Prabhupada's books, all these principles, this is what's going to make us Krishna conscious, which is the goal of life. And at least those who are coming to the stand of initiation, I would expect that everyone understands that this Krishna conscious world is not just another satsang. There are so many, I'm sure in Bahrain there must be Sai Baba satsangs and Ayapa satsangs, and these are all asatsangs, but they go by the name of satsang. Because people in Kali Yuga don't know what is sat and what is asat. Sat means to worship Krishna, and everything else is asat. So, it's not just another organization, but it is the very purpose of human life to take to Krishna consciousness with the aim of Jatva Deham Punarajanma Naiti Mamiti Sarjana, fully understanding Krishna, becoming fully dedicated to Krishna, and preparing ourselves to go back home, back to Godhead, which we haven't, we've been stuck in this material world for millions of lifetimes. So Srila Prabhupada is very merciful, has brought this process of Krishna consciousness as given by Sri Krishna himself. In his most merciful incarnation, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, he's given us this process by which we can become free from birth and death and go to Krishna. So anyone who's studying these books and taking Krishna consciousness seriously, they can understand what a valuable gift this Krishna consciousness is, and that everything else, I mean, I have my family life, my social life, and I have family obligations, and they must be fulfilled, but the most important thing is to become Krishna conscious. And my most important duty as a husband, a wife, father, mother, whatever it may be, is to, my most important duty within my family is to set a good example to the children and to bring them up in Krishna consciousness. In other words, understanding that Krishna consciousness is the goal of life and that therefore we must practice it very seriously in order to get the result. The rules and regulations are there, and if we follow them, then we get the result that we will become Krishna conscious. And if we don't follow them, then our advancement in Krishna consciousness will be impeded. I'll just give some examples. Some discussion came up recently. We have our ISKCON email forum called KON. So there are so many discussions going on. One discussion came up about, isn't it all right to buy bread in the shop and for householders, because we lead a very busy life, and then we can offer to the deity, after all it's made with vegetarian ingredients, and then we can take that as prasad, because we have to be practical. So my comment on this was that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he commented on this, and Vijaya Anna Kaile Dushta Haiman Non Dushta Haile Nahi Krishna Shwaram Krishna Shwaram Nahaile Vishval Jiva. That if we eat grains cooked by non devotees, then the mind becomes polluted. The mind becomes polluted, we don't remember Krishna. If we don't remember Krishna, our life is spoiled. So this is an example of a rule that it may seem that it's all right just to make some adjustment and buy some carny food, and it's all the same, after all it's vegetarian, but actually the consciousness of the cook is transmitted into the food. So if someone's cooking just for a job, or that person's full of lust and greed and envy and so many materialistic qualities, then first of all, we can put it on a plate and ring a bell. It doesn't mean that Krishna is obliged to accept it. Krishna says, Patram Pushpankalam Kayam Yome Bhakta Parachit Tadaham Bhakti Pahari Tamashnavi Paritatmana. In this verse, Krishna translates the word bhakti. So if one offers me with love and devotion, leaf, flower, fruit and water, I will accept. So love and devotion, where's the love and devotion? You simply buy something which is just cooked, just as a business, and stick that in front of Krishna, that's not love and devotion. It may be somewhat troublesome to cook, but it's much more hygienic, healthy, and most important, that has to be cooked and given to Krishna with love. Then he will accept it. So if we may say, well, it's all right to adjust this rule and that rule, and it's a fact. The person who was suggesting this said that, actually in Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's stated that temple worship of deities is very strict, but for householders it can be more relaxed. And even for food it says that whatever you're going to cook for the family, you can cook that and offer to the deity like that. But nowhere does it, that was his proposition, or my proposition was that nowhere does it say that he says you can cook, whatever you cook, you offer to the deity. Whereas in the temple you have to cook so many different items for the Lord, whether it's not depending on what the devotee is going to eat, but you have to see what the Lord wants to eat. So you can make another standard at home of just cooking what you need for the family and offering that. But nowhere does it say that you can bring food cooked by non-devotees and offer that. Then there's absolutely no bhakti there. So that's just an example. Point in mind that what we should offer to Krishna, that should be, actually if you see even the first set of rules that Prabhupada gave to the devotees in 1966, he gave different rules, must chant the holy name of the Lord. He said, must not eat food cooked by non-devotees. That's one of the important points. Now, actually, this point came up to, and this was brought to me here because some devotees were a little disturbed by that, because they were saying that here sometimes in some of the meetings they're encouraging everyone to come, and even if they're at home, they're meat eating and they're eating onions and all these things, still let them come and bring something to offer to the Lord. But according to the standards which our acharyas have given and which Srila Prabhupada has given, is actually not an acceptable standard. Now this discussion came up in Siddhi Chaitanya Charitamrita at the time of Rath Yatra, when the Lord would come out, then everyone would bring their offerings and offer to Him. Now, that's one particular place and one particular day. But that's not the general standard. Now this is something that sometimes devotees do. They find one example of someone not following the rule, and they take this as the general standard. Just like I saw some, Prabhupada said that my father used to rise a little late. So I was saying to one devotee once, why are you always getting up late? He said, well, Prabhupada's father used to get up late. But that's not the standard that Prabhupada gave us. The standard is that you should rise early. Prabhupada's father was a pure devotee. He was doing puja throughout the night. Then he would rise a little late and he would do a little work in his shop and kind of use his puja all day. So, if you take some exception and make the rule, that's some cheating in sincerity. So we should see what is the standard. Just like you may say, well, Prabhupada didn't go to Mangalati, but he told us to go. And he was translating books during that time. So there are some important principles. We shouldn't try to find some excuse to break them. Now this point about, we should encourage people, they may become discouraged if we don't let them bring. Now, there are different points here. Now, what is the ideal? The ideal is that everyone should be not only vegetarian, more than vegetarian, they should have the understanding that everything should be offered to Krishna, we should accept the sound. The reality is that not everyone's on that level, so we have to try to bring people up to that level. Now there's always, between the ideal and what is the actual situation, the ideal and the reality, there's always a gap. Now those who are more strict, they will always tend towards establishing the ideal. Whereas others who are more liberal, they say, well, let's give everyone a chance. So Prabhupada was both strict and liberal. It's a matter of knowing when to apply the strictness and when to apply the liberality. But at the same time, there are certain standards. In other words, it's not just arbitrary that someone will be very strict and someone will be very liberal. There are certain fixed standards. Now, again, the point comes that, well, that's the standard in the temple, but what about at home? Or this year we just have congregational preaching. It's not exactly the same as a Paka Iskam temple. Same thing, people may become discouraged if we don't allow them to offer. But on the other hand, if we allow the lower standard, they may not ever come up to the higher standard. In other words, the lower standard will become the standard. Do you follow my point? If you make a standard that this is the level that you can bring food to offer when you're following all the regulated principles, then they may become encouraged to come up, oh, let me come up to the proper standard. But if you say, well, let everyone come and bring whatever they like, then that becomes a lower standard. And then when you tell people, no, actually you shouldn't, they say, well, you should follow this, and say, well, what's the problem? Well, this is allowed. So the standard comes down. And what also happens is that for those who want to establish what are the proper standards, they also become discouraged because they want to worship Krishna in the proper way, and then if the standards come down, others become discouraged. Now actually I've gone a little elaborately into this, but when the devotees were telling me about this, I was saying that to the devotees, well, I'm only hearing what you're saying, I don't know what others are saying. So I can't comment on this fully. But just as in this case, I'm just giving the general understanding that food which is cooked by non-devotees that's actually an offense to offer that to Krishna, because Krishna wants to, he wants that which is offered to him with love. So that's an example. There may be, like I was saying, the ideal and the practical. Now, how to resolve that? The devotees that were talking to me about this are saying, well, actually, how to resolve this? Then you, what it is that within our, again, it's an unusual situation here in Bahrain because there's no established ISKCON center, but things are going on, congregational preaching. But in any organization, there's some authority structure. So that should, authority means we don't have a dictator. But especially those who are more senior devotees, Brahmin initiates, they should know what are the standards, and the Brahmin initiated devotees, they should themselves practice very soon. Actually, all initiated devotees, but especially those who are Brahmin initiated, they're supposed to set the standards for others, and if there's any misunderstanding about preaching and what are the different standards in preaching and the different levels, then the Brahmin initiated devotees, they could come together and first of all understand what are the standards set by Srila Prabhupada, and then establish them as far as possible considering the local circumstances, which are different to general circumstances throughout the world. But the general point is there that we should, as much as possible, we should try to come up to following all the different rules and regulations, which will help us to advance in spiritual life. And there are many points. There are many, many things. You see, there are many things which are in Prabhupada's books. There are also many points which he gave verbally. One thing I was telling last night is that in the program in the evening, they were singing what is called the morning melody in the evening. So that's one point, actually, Prabhupada's not his books. But he was very strict about that. That during the morning time, you should sing a certain tune. And during the evening, you have to sing a different tune. Why? Because this is what, actually, it's a very deep science. There are different moods or psychic vibrations at different times of the day, and therefore certain tunes, they complement the mood of that time. So during the morning time, if certain tunes should be sung, Hare Krishna, Hare, and I'm singing in the evening just to show you, that tune should be sung. But in the evening there's a different tune for the Gaura Arati. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So, lectures. Another thing I was commenting last night is that there's a kirtan style of singing in Bengal which is very, you could say it's very musically appealing. You hear also the famous singers in India singing one point, they'll hold one note for a long time. That's considered a very great achievement in singing, if you can sing. Hare, go on and on and on. But actually, probably, Hare Krishna, you hear, but you don't raise Krishna. You don't hear the sound of Krishna. So actually, although this is, you could say it's part of traditional kirtan culture in Bengal, but actually Prabhupada, he didn't like it. He called it howling. The point of chanting Hare Krishna is to pronounce the name of Krishna, calling out to Krishna. It's not meant to be some kind of exhibition of one's singing abilities. The idea is to please Krishna by chanting his names. So that's one other point. Now I'm going to come into something which is pretty sensitive, and I was wondering whether to say it or not, but I thought, well, I should say it. It's in Prabhupada. That's why I got this book. This is something in Prabhupada's books. So, there's one point here Well, one important point, I didn't, before I made this, but now we may say, what is this standard? Because there may be different standards according to different times and places. And even within our society, I think there are more than 80 initiating gurus now. So like I was saying, some are more strict and some are more liberal, but and what is the standard? Well, the ultimate standard for everybody in this movement is the standard of our founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada, who set the standards for the Krishna conscious movement for the next 10,000 years. So as he has taught, we should follow that. Now within that, you see, even within Prabhupada's instructions, we'll find sometimes Prabhupada said something in one time, place and circumstance, another he said something else. Just like, for instance, in Kirtan, many times he told that we shouldn't go on and on chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and he didn't, but Prabhupada several times said he didn't like the Nitai Gauranga chanting. But then devotees on other occasions have recorded that Prabhupada heard the devotees chanting, and before Prabhupada had told you should stop them chanting, and then the same Hare Krishna Maharaj was asked, he heard this chanting. In another occasion, he said, Prabhupada, should I stop them? I said, well, at least they're chanting something. So on one occasion, he was saying, tell them to stop. On another occasion, he said, Janaga, at least they're chanting something. So, there may be an art to know exactly when and how to apply different standards. But just like in this case, to give the example, that Prabhupada, sometimes he might allow that. But generally we understand that he wasn't very fond of that. He said that if we're going to chant the names of Gaur Nithai, we'll find this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We should chant fully. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasa Nugodhaka. This is the proper way to chant. Another time we hear, it's like a popular chant, sometimes we hear the devotees chanting, not here, but we hear the chant, Nithai, 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 Gauranga. And why so many times we die, and only one time go around? Just because it sounds nice. But what is this? The acharyas have taught us to chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasa Govardhana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If you listen, there are so many facets of Prabhupada chanting. You'll never hear Prabhupada chanting Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga. He chants Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda and Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasa Govardhana. And Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And actually, since Prabhupada taught us that, our devotees have picked up so many different kinds of chants and invented some different kinds of chants. But what Prabhupada taught us to chant mostly Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So better we speak to that. Now I'm going to come on to this point. It's, like I said, it's a little sensitive, but you know, at the most you can throw me out. So I feel I should say it. Now, this is recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the purport, that we find the story of Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, he was a minister in the Muslim government of Nawab Hussain Shah in Bengal. And he was, maybe some of you know the story, it's a very long and very charming story, how he was thrown in prison by the Nawab for his non-violent, non-cooperation. He said, I don't want to be a minister anymore, I want to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the Nawab threw him in prison. And he escaped from prison and he came through the jungle paths and got escaped in this way. So because he had been in the Muslim government, he looked like him, he had a beard and long hair and mustache and all these things. So when he arrived, he went to Varanasi and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was staying in the house of Chandrasekhar, one of his devotees. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Chandrasekhar to tell him to change his dress and look, make him look like a Vaishnava. So in this regard, there's one verse here, that Chandrasekhar then made Sanatana Goswami look like a gentleman. He took him to bathe in the Ganges, and afterwards he brought him a new set of clothes. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada writes that the words Bhadra Karaya are significant in this verse. Due to his long hair, mustache, and beard, Sanatana Goswami looked like a Darabesh, or hippie. Darabesh means some kind of... Do you know what that means, Darabesh? Do you have that in Hindi? He knows, he's from Bengal. Like something like a Muslim fakir or Baal or something. You know, Baal is some... Anyway, if you don't know, you didn't lose anything. But Prabhupada is given the modern equivalent to me. Long hair and beard and all those things. You know what a hippie is? Okay. Since Sri Chaitanya, you're lucky you don't know too much, but... Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like Sanatana Goswami's hippie features, he immediately asked Chandrasekhar to get him shaved clean. If anyone with long hair or a beard wants to join the Krishna conscious world and live with us, he must similarly shave himself clean. The followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu consider long hair objectionable. So, like I said, I'm touching a very sensitive point here, but I can't help noticing, I've been here coming here quite a few years, but it seems to be like almost a standard for many of our even initiated devotees to keep a mustache. So you may think, well, it's not a very important thing or not a very big thing, but, and that's also in one sense true. If you're chanting Hare Krishna, that's very nice. But here Prabhupada has given the indication that due to his long hair, mustache, and beard, Sanatana Goswami looked like a Darabesh or hippie. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to shave that. There's actually an instance you can find. We have these Prabhupada conversation books now that some of Prabhupada's disciples, they've been living in the temple, and they came there. Now they're living outside, and they came to see Prabhupada, and they had mustaches, and Prabhupada said, why have you got a mustache? If you want to be my disciple, then you shouldn't have all this. They were actually somewhat offensive to Prabhupada. And they said, well, we saw the advertisement when you were a businessman, you also had a mustache. He said, that doesn't matter, I'm telling you, you shouldn't have this. So, I'm just saying this because, I mean, it's the generally understood standard in our movement all over the world that for those who are grihasthas, they're working outside, little short hair. Is that Prabhupada also accepted that, but just don't shoot me. I'm just making the point that that's the generally accepted standard. So there are many, to tell the truth, there are many standards which Prabhupada spoke about or said, which not only here in Bahrain, where it hasn't been systematically propagated in the same way, because there never was a temple set up in that sense. But all over the world there are many different things which gradually in course of time Prabhupada's instructions about them may have been forgotten or half forgotten. So this is something I've actually compiled quite a big book on the different, you could say all the different rules and sub-rules which are to be followed, which Prabhupada taught us so that we can become more advanced in devotional service. So I certainly hope next time when I come, but actually it's almost ready. It needs final editing, but it's quite a big book. So, and I'm also traveling around here and there, but I would hope by the end of this year that book will be ready and gives all different things, just like what are the standards for following Chato Nasya, do we have to follow in our movement, and if so, how, and Ekadashi following, and then rules for Kirtan, so that's the biggest chapter. Then Guru etiquette, how to receive guests, and standards for prasadam, serving, and just like we see So many people are so prasad, they'll touch the spoon to the plate. Or they'll put the chapati and touch the plate with their hand when they're putting it down. But actually you shouldn't, many people don't know this, but actually if you touch the plate, then you have to go and wash your hand and everything. There's so many different, even sometimes I see devotees are eating, and then you say, oh, I don't need this, there's too many chapati. Okay, put on the next person's plate. But actually this is not the proper standard. And unfortunately, many devotees, we don't know these things, because that culture which was previously taught in Indian families, nowadays, actually this is only, not even Vaishnava culture, but it's basic culture which was taught in every Hindu family. And even Muslims, many used to follow such things. But nowadays, the whole culture is broken down. People are living in apartments, and they learn everything from TV and from school, so that culture is gone. So, this is something that one thing I'd like to at least try to see established, is if we can, all these points, which actually we may think, well, what does it matter if you touch the chapati to the plate on your spoon, actually, all those rules are there because everything affects our consciousness. Our consciousness is supposed to become purified by practicing Krishna consciousness. So therefore, all these rules and regulations are there which will help us to become more Krishna conscious. So, Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any question, please? Are you initiated? And you're initiated, then why should you ask such a question? Fisherman or fish eater?
No, he's a fish eater.
So you're a fish eater?
No.
You never had fish in your life?
Oh, I did.
Yeah, so?
What I'm saying, but he's working here as a mother, and he used to get food for the fever.
Can he be initiated? Well, it's not a very Vaishnava profession. There are plenty of other jobs, aren't there?
Yeah, you must, if someone is coming in,
let him finish his contract or whatever. That's what I would say. Doesn't look very good. It's not a very Vaishnava profession. We know how many fishermen have been initiated, but then they stop being fishermen. So that he may not be able to avoid the contract. Well, actually, and if you understand what is Krishna conscious, how could you even go on doing that? Horrible job. You can be initiated, that's why I was asking, are you initiated? You're a fish eater. But then you have to stop being a fish eater. You're talking about it in the temple, when there's a festival.
In the festival, and also here I ask when we have a question.
And this is another question which came up on Kham, that can everyone perform the Abhishek or not in the temple? And there are different opinions. Actually, for the Jagannath Chandan Snan Yatra, then that's open to everybody. That particular day, the Jagannath is very merciful from the Lord. But then, on Brahman Dwadashi, Nrisimha Chaturdashi, and generally the Abhishek will be done of the deity, or Shalagram Shila, and at that time, actually only, this is the standard which was in place when Prabhupada was here, that Brahman initiate should do. So maybe different for different deities also. Jagannath Snan Yatra, that may be open to everybody. Even not the initiate of anybody, if they're coming. Yeah, including Matajis. That was Prabhupada's. Prabhupada opened up But of course, if they're at a certain period of the month, then they might not, then they're done. But otherwise, see, Prabhupada also allowed Matajis to do deity worship, which was unheard of. In the home, they could do, but not in a public temple. Prabhupada allowed that. Although not in the town, it's not in Vrindavan, America. So Prabhupada is quite flexible like that. You can follow his sense. But again, the point is you should set some standards. You know, the Brahmin initiates here should come together and understanding the standards which are given by Prabhupada. If you don't know what they are, you can consult. Now, I was trying to get you set up on Kong because this Kong is a medium by which you can consult. There's an Archana conference, deity worship conference, in which you can consult the senior devotees in our movement. This is our situation. What is the standard we should follow? So you should get on that conference and consult. Because your situation is in about different. So that's what I suggested to you. Actually, now the movement's expanding more and more, and more people are coming. But you see, just like Prabhupada in the beginning was very liberal, but then as more devotees came, necessary to make certain standards. Otherwise, everyone just makes up their own standards, and it becomes wild. So certain standards are required. So according to your situation, you should make some fixed standards. Alright, Jagannath Snanyatra, Abhishek, this is the standard. Everyone can say. Is more concerned with rules and regulations of deity worship. Bhagavati Vidhi is more concerned with the process of hearing, chanting, and preaching. So both things are done simultaneously. And the Bhagavati Vidhi, sorry, the Panchavati Vidhi, we may adjust that for the sake of preaching. In other words, just like for instance, it may be that we should have, let's think of some example. But just like in your own personal life, someone thinks that they should rise and have mangalarti at 4:30 in the morning, but they do night shift up to 12 o'clock, so they may rise a little late. So there may be some adjustment. Or for the sake of preaching, you may make some. When you're traveling, you may just make some mental offering of the Buddha, because you can't make an offering, say you're on a train going somewhere, you can't make it. If you are in India, you may go on a 36-hour train ride, so you can't. You buy some bananas at the station, and you can't, you know, you're not going to get out the whole deities and do the full offering, but you can. So in that situation, you're traveling from one place to another to do some teaching, you can make some mental offering. So there may be some adjustments. So both things are there. Panchavati Vidhi and Bhagavati Vidhi. Both are required for our advancement. Was there any specific question you wanted to ask about that?
No idea.
So Panchavati Vidhi, like I said, that's more in terms of duty worship. Bhagavati Vidhi is more hearing and chanting. The Vidhi means rules, and then rules in both of them.
And that is the Vidhi versus what we do here.
Yeah.
Of course, here we don't have the temples, we do not feel like this. So, according to Bhagavati Vidhi.
Is it according to God? Is there any Vidhi? That's the first question. Do you have any other specific rules? Well, we can say it's according to Panchayatri Vidhi. The very, you could say,
adjusted. But both are there. Because hearing and finding is one. If you don't find the holy name, then your guru worship, you don't have what to chant. So the both things are there. But Tantra Atiti Vidhi is to supplement the Bhagavati Vidhi. But without following Bhagavati Vidhi, you can't properly do the Vidhi worship anyway. So the both, the two things are intertwined. Both things go on simultaneously. And they complement each other. With preaching to others, to serve Krishna, and how will they serve Krishna through the deity, there's a one of the part of the person. Part of the deity worship is that we're worshipping, and then others come and see, and they also get inspiration to do in their home. So the two things are intertwined. Any other question? When will I visit Bangalore again? That I cannot say exactly. Huh? Yeah, I can't. I don't have any particular plan now. My schedule is more or less fixed up until next go for Lima and visit Bangalore with me in line after then. Generally, I'm coming here about once every year, something like that, isn't it? So let's see. Who knows how long I'll be in this body or any of us? Any other questions? Anyone has any feelings about this? I mean, I know I've touched some points which could be quite sensitive. And I don't wonder if there should be any bad feelings generated by that. But I'm just giving some. So what I've understood from what the Lord has been speaking to me, I've been saying something which I hope will be of some benefit. But I hope it wouldn't become the cause of any bad feelings between the devotees. Actually, the devotees should be very open and frank with each other. And if there are different, there may always be differences of opinion about how to serve Krishna. You see, even among the Prabhupada disciples and GBC members, there are differences of opinion on different points. But the basic point that they all agree on is that we have to serve Prabhupada and Krishna. Exactly how that should be done, there may be different opinions about that. But that mature devotees means they, even though they have differences of opinion about how to serve Krishna, they respect each other that we are trying to serve Krishna, and they can discuss among themselves and come to some proper conclusion. And even if they don't necessarily fully agree with someone else's approach or handling of a situation, and they appreciate that, you know, anyway his motive is to serve Krishna. So even if there's some disagreement on methodology, there is mutual respect among Vaishnavas. In this regard, I'll tell a little incident. That Prabhupada, once he took some of his disciples to visit some of the mutts of his godbrothers in the Navadvip area. So one place they went to, there were very few devotees, one of the mutts. But they appeared to be very serious, and they were very deeply studying the philosophy. There were very few of them, and they didn't do much preaching outside, or just themselves, they were cultivating Krishna consciousness very seriously themselves. Then they went to another mat where there are many, many members, a lot of brahmacharis, a lot of sannyasis. They had a lot of activities, and many people were coming. There were many people coming, but it seemed that the mood was maybe a little bit frivolous, because they had many people coming, but they just brought people in by any means. That, okay, come, get initiated, all right. But they didn't. It seemed they were more concerned to make a lot of members. But they weren't very serious about the depth of the members' Krishna consciousness. So afterwards, when they came back to Prabhupada's Mayapur,
Chandradaya temple. In Nandavati asked Prabhupada, he said that when seen in one place, there were very few, but they were very serious. In another place, there were very many, but they weren't very serious. So which is, what should we be like? Should we be few and serious, or many and not so serious? Prabhupada said, we want both. We want many and serious. Both things are required. So we should have outgoing preaching, but at the same time, our mood should be to keep a very good standard and let people come up to that standard. Rather than go, another story I'll tell this was that once two stories I can tell in this regard. It's another book which I so-called finished but needs editing only. There's, I have quite a few like that. Bhakti Sanseswar Thakur. Once someone came to him, one teacher. So he said, I would like initiation. They had a beard. So Bhakti Sanseswar Thakur said, well, okay, you shave your beard, then you come for initiation. He said, well, you know, I've been growing my beard for quite a long time. He said, well, you have to decide. What is your priya? What is dear to you? Krishna or your beard? So, unfortunately, he was more attached to his beard. He didn't come to initiation. Now, another story, someone came to him and said that you're teaching so many difficult things. That you're telling that you have to stop eating fish because in Bengal, people, they tend to be attached to eating fish. He said, you're telling not to eat fish and so many difficult rules and regulations. He said, why don't you make it easy for us? Give us an easy path. So Sarasar Thakur said that you're already fallen in the well and I'm trying to pull you up out. You don't pull me down in with you. So these are some different considerations. So please, I request you in Prabhupada's word with all the humility at my command, which in Prabhupada's case was unlimited, and in my case is extremely limited as to be almost non-existent. But anyway, I request you with all the humility at my command to kindly consider these points for the furtherance of the devotee's own Krishna consciousness. And so that as we expand more and more here, that we can not only expand outwards, but expand upward. And that's going on. I'm not saying it's not going on, but so that we can set such a standard that people will be, actually, those who are more sincere, they'll be attracted. If there are, you may say, well, we'll just make it very open and everyone can do whatever they like, but actually then you'll get some riffraff kind of people. But if you make a good standard, then those who are more sincere, they'll be attracted to them. But here is something outstanding. Here is something better. Here is something which reforms our life. So people will be impressed by that also. So it requires a lot of maturity to. It's not that when someone walks in the door, we immediately say, okay, you're doing this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, go out and come back when you're... No. Come in the door. See what is the standard of our initiated devotees. What standard they can... See how attractive that is. See how nice this is. This is the philosophy. This is why you should follow this also. And then, so it requires with people who are coming new, to be very, to not compromise the philosophy with them, but at the same time, you don't have to force it on them. But those who are coming more time, then they should come up more and more. Actually, we should try to come up more and more and more and more all the time. So, Hare Krishna. If there's no other question, then we should chant Hare Krishna.